As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
The Athletic.
Hello and welcome to the TIFO Football Podcast for the last time.
Goblins.
It's actually not the last time. It's just the last time, as discussed, that this format will occur in this way. And I tell you what, as a result of that news, we got a bumper-packed show for you today. Starting with Ruben the Baby Boy Pinder.
Goo goo gaga.
Yeah, there he is. A cute little cherub there. Also, we've got Sebastian Stafford-Bloor. Ah, guten Tag. Herr Stafford-Bloor. Wie geht's?
Guten Tag, Herr Devine, you got it right.
I know.
You got it right.
I actually got it right secretly a couple of weeks ago and you didn't notice, but don't worry about it, that's fine.
I don't remember that at all.
Yeah. Anyway, Seb's all the way over here from Germany for this here today and the live shows we've got going on this week as well. JJ Bull, the Bullard.
Yeesh.
There he is, yeesh. And of course, it is Jonathan the Dog McKenzie. Yeah, little whoops there. He's got his whoops, yeah. Also, we were joined for the first half of this podcast by Michael Bailey. But on account of the weird time dilation thing that happens here, the Ruben's here for the introduction. But Ruben rejoins us for the second half of the podcast there. So that's going to be real fun. Now, what did we discuss on today's podcast? It's a very long one. Yeah, unfortunately it's long. But we did get quite a lot of football in there, didn't we? Today we spoke about the value of a person. I'll fuck that up. The value of a person if football shirts were barcodes. There's a low energy in the room.
I don't even know if it's as funny as like.
There's a low energy in the room.
Mark wasn't here for that. I look forward to hearing it.
Yeah, oh, you weren't here for that bit.
It's not great.
Yeah. What about? I think it was fine. That bit was okay. Yeah.
I was trying to get somewhere else with it, you know?
What if I say it again, but you sort of react in a different way? What do you think?
Okay, we can try if you want.
The value of a person if football shirts were barcodes.
Yeah.
Oh.
Do you want happier?
Just a different way.
Okay, I'll do it again.
The value of a person if football shirts were barcodes. That's fine, I'll accept
that one.
Yeah, I don't actually don't mind that one at all. Ange Postecoglou possibly going to Tottenham? The FA Cup final?
Sorry.
This is an audio product.
Oh, fuck, I hate this podcast. I can't keep it. I hate it so much.
The Europa League final and Mourinho?
Hate that too.
There's a quiz at the end too.
And if you want
to be really good at quizzes, you should get The Athletic. If you head over to www.theathletic.com/TIFO, there's the possibility you could get a 30-day free trial and read some of the stuff that Seb has been putting out. He's been travelling around Germany, speaking to some managers and players and thinking about German football in general. So if you would like that, I reiterate www.theathletic.com/TIFO.
I'm not even dead yet. You've jumped into my grave.
Body's not even cold.
Also, he's had enough.
You've already got the gig for the
next one. You don't even know what's happening.
The
thing is, you fucked this all up now, and everyone's going to have to deal with the consequences because there was a whole bit. Ruben spent hours working on this bit that you've just fucked up.
You
understand that?
Fucked it.
Do you understand that? How dare you?
I think
it was very good, though, wasn't
it? Yeah, it's really good.
I'm quite excited
but
to
listen
to
his first
episode. But
I think when John's annoyed, I think he does things really well.
Maybe that's the kind
Which
of environment
Which is why he would be the better manager.
Because he'd be annoyed all the time.
End the podcast.
Hey,
end it.
Don't hit the table. We've got to watch a whole thing.
But we can start doing the thing.
It's very short.
What's wrong with you? What are you feeling now?
I'm really hungry.
Do you want to go and get some food?
Yeah.
You can leave if you want.
Well, I want to watch the thing too.
Now you want to watch the thing. He wants all the things.
I told him no food.
At the same time.
Yeah, I did say.
I had the Robita and then...
That's not
anyway,
food.
Anyway, what we're about to watch here is something Ruben very kindly puts together for us. This is one of the first ever... It might even be the first ever...
It's the
advert
first ever.
...for The Athletic in our podcast, which is quite funny to
you
watch
You were quite
now.
Young then, didn't you?
I did. Well, I was.
Fresh trim.
You look young and hopeful.
This is pre-pandemic.
It's pre-pandemic, yeah. That was pre-pandemic. I wasn't 25.
Why not?
I was like, it was only 3 years ago.
That can't be 3 years.
Yeah.
We had the office 5 years.
Lots happened.
I think
in
I prefer
years.
That Joe to this one.
I prefer that Joe to
I wish I knew him.
That time has really dragged.
That Joe was that Joe was so nice.
Was it?
Yeah, excited, hopeful.
Oh, he had his earnest voice, proper.
This one, I'm just, yeah, listen to my earnest
voice.
Yeah,
this is really
so
funny.
Thank you for putting this together, Ruben. We'll watch this as evidence of the final Athletic advert.
Today, we are delighted to announce that this podcast will be supported for the rest of the Premier League season by The Athletic.
And The Athletic.
The Athletic, the best place to read about football.
I'm excited about The Athletic, aren't you?
Yeah, constantly.
Theathletic.com/tifo, only available to people who are alive.
You should visit The Athletic. Visit theathletic.com/tifo, theathletic.com/tifo, because when you do, you'll realise that your life before was without meaning. And if you want to learn things such as why you can't kill and eat your pets, or how to pronounce words properly, you should get The Athletic. Get The Athletic at theathletic.com/tifo. theathletic.com/tifo for comprehensive lists of which pets
you can kill and eat.
That was a funny one, that was.
That was very good. That was very good.
Anyway, so
still waiting for the long read about which pets you can and can't.
I can do it again if you want.
Yeah, it was quite husky.
No.
Yeah,
it was innocent. It was
like your Tifo
today,
podcast.
Do my problem.
Do,
your do my voiceover voice. Or my normal voice.
Voiceover.
Do your voiceover voice,
What would you like me to say?
Just like talk to us normally, like how you used to
say. Say Manchester City are champions and Pep Guardiola is their manager.
Manchester City are champions and Pep Guardiola is their manager. Hi, I'm Joe Devine. Welcome to this social time with me. Ask me anything you'd like.
This is what an AI version of you would sound like. I like this.
This is what the AI version of me does sound like. I've experimented with it and it sounds almost exactly like this.
And do you want me to ask you a question?
I'd love you to, JJ.
How many goblins?
4.
And why?
Because 4.
What is the optimum number of goblins?
Oh... I've got to break character for that question. It's a very serious question.
But AI does filler for.
I know
for
it's a bit thinking. Internet, maybe, like, you know, kind of basic B, but how many goblins could you fight at once?
Me?
Yeah.
How big are the goblins?
I don't know. How big are goblins?
Well, I'm the goblin king, but obviously the king of the goblins is always slightly bigger than the other goblins.
I think they'd be a bit this high. Like,
I'm so hungry.
And are they athletic and what are they?
Sort
what
of green. You wouldn't want to have one in your garden, but.
You wouldn't want to have one in your... I think I could fight maybe a couple hundred.
At once.
Anyway.
Someone in the other side of the office thinks they can beat a rhino in a fight.
Who thinks that?
I'm not going to...
No, say their name. That's ridiculous.
I will tell you afterwards.
You'll tell me later. Yeah, I don't care if you say their name.
I don't want to embarrass
them. Whoever that is, it's wrong. Unless it's... Some of that might not have stayed. And we'll leave it up to Steve Hankey and Don as to when we cut back. And maybe this is the first bit of the podcast that you're hearing today, in which case, welcome to the Tifo podcast. But for the time being, and actually not just for the time being, for all time now, I will leave you in the warm hands and the cool embrace. Let's get a camera on his face there of Dr. John McKenzie. John McKenzie.
One last time.
Where else to begin? Well, we should say hello to Mr. Michael Bailey here first, who wasn't here for the intro.
Was I not?
No, a little bit of time shifting, shimmering happening there. But there you are. Look at you. How are you doing?
Great, thanks.
Yeah, you're really good?
Yeah, really good.
You've got a lovely strip on there. Describe for the listener what it is that you're wearing.
This is Norwich City's home shirt from 2018-19 season.
Was that a good year?
It was a good year because they got promoted. Championship winners.
Yeah.
Not so good the following season, but we all know the...
It's a lovely strip, and I like the sort of the bird fleck. What's the Norwich's year? What's the one where they have all fleck? You know, what you've got there on the shoulders, little triangle flecks. There was one that looked like a big bird poo.
Oh, the 1992-93 season.
The Jeremy Gosh show.
Inaugural Premier League season where they finished third. And this was designed to sort of replicate it a bit. I mean, you've proven that they did it. I never thought they did.
Yeah. Is there, JJ Bull, a better... English football club colours team general, like, I know there have been maybe perhaps shirts over time that have been more iconic, jerseys they call them as well, don't they, but with Norwich's yellow and green sort of thing, is there a club that has more consistently cool different kits than Norwich?
Yes.
Oh, who is it?
Oh, I would say I like Newcastle's.
Well, it's just the same almost every year, isn't it?
No, but when they had the cool badge, that was nice.
In the middle.
Yeah. Because when you have black and white and you like flourish it. Give it flair with like different colours in the sponsor. Then they start having all like different sponsors that are just one colour and it's not quite the same.
Right.
But when they had a blue trim, it was quite good, yeah.
What about you, John?
No, there is no team that has cooler kits than Norwich.
Okay, and Seb?
Actually, the old Saint Etienne kits that were done by Le Coq Sportif.
I think I said English. Cool. I think you'll find I said English. I'm not interested in these foreign.
The first question, and Seb's gone off.
Good.
I just didn't pay attention to any of that. Sorry.
Answer it now.
I've always liked Villa's kits. Nice and simple. I mean, nice colours.
The colours aren't
ground.
Bold enough. They're
no, but I like the consistency.
West Ham colours,
it.
Isn't it? It's the same. Yeah, I'm not saying they are the West Ham colours. I'm saying they share the colours.
Nice traditional shirt.
Is there any other yellow and green?
There's a few who use it as their away kit because they love it so much. Sure. Like, well, we can't do it as our home kit. But.
I guess it was the original Newton Heath, wasn't it? The Man United colours.
Yes, yeah. True.
I quite like Sheffield Wednesdays for some reason. They always had good
nice
shirts.
Kit.
The white and the
blue and white stripes.
It's a good colour of blue as well.
A thin stripe as well. It's not none of that thick stripe stuff you get at Newcastle, but a very thin stripe. What do you think that says about someone? Difference between the size, the stripe girth.
It's how much they then can be scanned for as a barcode.
Yeah.
So you can apply worth to the person.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Well, that's handy there, isn't it?
Well, I mean, everyone should have a value. I mean, everyone should be judging how much they're worth by money.
Is it wider stripes for more worth?
You only want to hang out with people who are worth lots of money, don't you?
So, wider stripes.
No, because wider stripes would be less data.
Not necessarily.
Could be less worth.
Well, no, it doesn't really matter. I mean, I think you can probably have different variables for different barcodes that give you more money value.
How much do you think you're worth, John?
74p.
Oh, pounds, I think, is more accurate.
That actually is
still
your,
low, and it's quite funny.
It's still low. It's a really good summary of how you are as a person day to day, isn't it? You know, I always find it funny when people assume that you're somehow arrogant or, you know, you have any sort of form of self-confidence whatsoever. But as a person, you really don't, do you?
I don't think I'm arrogant, no.
No. You think you're muck, don't you?
Well, I mean, yes.
Yeah.
Certain arrogance in saying you're not arrogant, though, isn't there?
That is true, come to think of it. Mm. Yeah. Well, anyway, welcome, Michael Bailey.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah. It's good to have you here.
I'm so happy to be here.
I think it's only the second time we've ever done a podcast together.
One of these.
Third. I interviewed you once, and we did one World Cup one together. Was it one or two?
Two, I think.
Oh, we've done this.
I'm glad you remember.
Oh, fuck, it doesn't matter, does it? Common as muck, never mind. First thing on the list there, Michael Bailey.
Oh, yeah.
Breaking story.
Oh, really?
It's not confirmed yet, but it seems as though all the evidence is pointing towards the fact that this could be confirmed as soon as the time of the release of this podcast. Ange Postecoglou, have you heard of him?
I have heard of him.
You have heard of him.
Somewhere up in Scotland.
He might become the new Spurs manager. What do you think about that?
Fabulous.
Yeah, fabulous.
Fabulous.
And why do you think that?
I would be very... I mean, I'm not a Spurs fan, so, you know, so I'll get that take. But I'd be fascinating to see how he does with a Premier League team because he has done a terrific job with Celtic. They played lovely football.
Yeah.
I have seen them live in the flesh. when I was covering Norwich City's pre-season trip to Celtic.
Oh, did they go to Celtic, did they?
They did, yeah. Which is very exciting. Never been to Celtic Park. What a place. But third full. But they play lovely football. But you can see this during the course of the season, I think, in Europe as well, that I see defensive weaknesses in how they play. I see lots of gaps, but they have great energy and they move the ball very quickly and lots of other more technical stuff that other people know about.
That sort of sounds like a perfect Spurs team, doesn't it? They've got defensive gaps and weaknesses, but they move it around quite nicely. So, you know, Spurs.
And he's redeveloped and built the team from a probably a decent foundation, but he's sort of taken them on a good few levels. So I don't know what the foundations he inherits at Spurs will be, because some of the blocks are rolling down the side of the hill, and so we'll see what happens to them. But as a viewing point, because he seems like a great guy, the Celtic fans adore him, and they won the treble at the weekend at some point during the weekend.
Hooray!
Not all three, just the final bit.
Yeah.
I'm excited by that prospect, should it occur.
Okay. Now, Seb, Michael Bailey there alluding to the idea that Spurs are somewhat crumbling. You know,
a bit crumbly.
It's good that they've got a manager, because it seemed for a while as though they might start next year without one, on account of how many they'd asked. You know, it's a bit like the reason that I didn't go to my high school dance, because I didn't want the ignominy of having to ask several people to attend alongside me and for them to all say no.
You've got such sad eyes when you talk about that.
Did that really happen? You didn't... So that's why you didn't
go. No, you're quite... That didn't happen. No, I just made that up. I didn't go, but it wasn't for that reason.
Oh, I don't know. You're making
that up. Why didn't you go?
He was going out with this. He did do that. That's why he didn't go.
No, it's not true.
It is true.
No, it's not true.
It is, because...
I don't know why I'm going red. It's not true.
Because you reacted exactly the way you would if you were trying to get out with something quickly.
It's not... I'm sure... No, it's because now...
But why didn't...
What you've rumbled is the fact that I have almost no memory of my life. So, like, I can't even remember if we had a dance.
Oh, yes, trauma, yes.
I did win. Have I told you this before? I won an award... in the final sort of sixth form for overseas listeners. It's like basically, you know, 17,
best
18,
goth.
It's college or whatever, end of high school. And it was for worst attendance. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't there to receive the award. So. I heard about it later.
Is that real? That's a very good joke, but that's not real.
I think it's real. I've told it so many times, I'm pretty sure it's real.
That's a good joke.
But it could just be, it could be not real.
It's a perfectly constructed joke.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, yeah. Anyway, talking of perfectly constructed jokes, what about Spurs?
Imperfect. So, as Michael said, they are very, very crumbly and they have many, many issues to fix and many issues which probably go beyond the remit of a head coach. What I like having read and watched a lot of John's
I forgot
content,
that he does that point thing when he really means it.
I really mean it.
For listeners, when he said, he pointed forwards like a sort of T-Rex with one long finger.
Yeah.
Is like E.T.
Potentially, Tottenham might have a... I could not.
They'll
have a little bit of Richarlison.
What are Tottenham going to have?
Tottenham are going to have a manager who potentially is affable, likable, someone who people might gravitate towards.
Yeah.
In the last couple of years at Spurs, amongst a forest of issues, has been... The worst of them has probably been that I don't think a lot of people have developed affection for the coaches. Nuno wasn't there for long enough. Jose Mourinho didn't seem to like anything about being Tottenham head coach. Antonio Conte seemed to like even less. Conte's a particularly good example, because a lot of Conte's reign, particularly the last bit of it, was spent complaining about the club's squad, the club itself, didn't seem wild about the club fans, thought they were kind of complicit in the many issues at Tottenham. And... obviously, I'll let John talk about the kind of the technical specifics of Postecoglou's football, but somebody that you want the best for, somebody that's actually somebody that allows you to look forward to games rather than making a season an endless trudge through the rain. I think that's probably a little bit more important to me now than the winning and the losing, the qualifying for different tournaments and what do you win. And I'm getting older, I don't care about that stuff.
I want
to look forward to games again. And
you're looking for, you know, if your mother has to go out with someone, you at least want him to take you bowling.
And I don't mind if he's absent in other areas of my life. So I suppose extending that metaphor, if the defense is a bit ropey, fine. The defense is really not very good now. Fine, whatever.
Yeah.
And so this is a kind of an ending point, a complete change in emotional direction. Fine. Just make it better.
Okay. Anyway, JJ Ball, Ange Postecoglou, give us the skinny on how he was received in Scotland. Because you're from there, so you know everything about that country.
People do think that. Do you know I get asked all things and ever I've worked? People just assume I know everything about the Scottish League because I'm from there.
Yeah, or indeed even, you know, the Scottish referendum or, you know, what's happening with the SNP.
I asked him a Scottish geography question before we started recording.
Yeah. Yeah. What's the name of the Scottish First Minister
right now?
Ask you
where Dundee was.
Yeah. What's the name of the new First Minister? Replacing Nicola Sturgeon.
Yusuf...
What do you think about Ange Postecoglou?
Yes. Well, obviously, I really like him. I think he's great. People in Scotland, even Rangers fans, will admit that he's done a great job, and they are probably pleased that he's leaving if he does. When he first came into Celtic, as you might expect, people were like, who the hell is this guy? Oh, he can't cut it. Same way everyone now in England's like, oh, it's not Premier League, so what's he going to do? Mm. The same thing. He'd only been in Japan and Australia and done well with both. Especially with the international team. It was the 2014 World Cup he was there. Remember when Tim Cahill was ace and scored that volley off the top of the bar?
Yeah, that's cool.
But so...
What a great World Cup.
Yeah.
2014.
And Australia was in that group of death, I think they were in. Yeah. Couldn't get out of it. But they played really well, so...
They died.
Yes. But then, so basically when they came in, same as you'd expect here, as everyone's like, who the hell is this guy? What's he going to do? Oh, they should have got Eddie Howe in, someone who knows what they're doing, and people weren't happy with it. He drew his first game, it was in the Champions League qualifier against Midtjylland, lost the second 2-1, so they're out of Champions League, went to Europa League. And he lost his first league game of the season against Hearts, right? So it didn't start very well, and nobody saw what's going on. And he started signing all players from, especially Japan, and brought in loads of players in like that. And then signed a bunch more in January. But he kind of rebuilt the team. They finished a good 30-ish points off Rangers that year. Should not have happened. And then turned them into this absolute machine, which just, they'd scored the most goals Celtic scored in the league since 1938, I think, this year, 114. Mm-hmm. Can you tell I've been researching for a video I'm doing?
Yeah.
I don't know, all these things. Yeah. I've got good information sometimes. And so then it turned them into a great team. They're really good to watch. Like everyone says, they are nice to watch, but they do it in clever ways. It's been described often as like a... It's like positional play almost. It's quite Guardiola-ish. When he was at Yokohama, that was part of the City group. So he started doing things that you see with Guardiola now, like inverting fullbacks there rather than all the way through his career. But he always was very attacking and intense. But what you see from him, that what people seem to engage with him is that he does not care if you don't like him. He doesn't give a fuck. So he's really strict. Everyone says he's really strict. Disciplinarian, he has a way he wants to play, and that's it. His coaches come in, they teach that way to play, doesn't deviate it from it, will happily throw in kids to try and prove them wrong, because he's spent his entire career
Where does he throw them to?
Off mountains, and they have to fly like birds, and that's what you get with the Celtic team. I think people really like him, right? So people like him, but because he doesn't care. You know, there's that thing where if someone just doesn't care if you like them or not, people are more drawn towards them.
Right.
I think that's part of his appeal. He doesn't care. He is nice. Like, he's described as a father figure as well. But because genuinely doesn't care...
Well, you're constantly trying to win his affection.
Exactly.
There's no one like that at Tifo. I was just doing a little mental scan.
It's a good leadership. It's a good leadership technique, isn't it?
There's nobody who is that laissez-faire. And
people are drawn towards him. If you try and like people, they don't want to hang out with you. They don't want to hang out with you. But some people don't do it.
Tifo is full of people that care very, very, very deeply about what other people think of them.
It is. Now, listen... Postecoglou's early life, give you a little bit of info here, JJ, for your video. Postecoglou, born in a suburb of Athens in Greece, after his father Dimitris lost his business following the coup in 1967, they emigrated to Australia by boat in 1970. He was only 5 years old. He grew up in Melbourne. And also, it's important to note, I think, because often when these managers come out and they've done they're playing all the fancy styles of football, all the passing and the fancies, the positions, when they do that, there's a tendency in my mind to think, well, they're young or they are new. But Postecoglou's been managing since 1996. He's really experienced. He's been around for
a long time. He was a good player. Like, he played, apparently he's a good player. I never saw him. But
midfielder?
He was a defender. He's played 4 times for Australia. And then he's had to, like, so trying to prove people wrong his entire life. Like, as a young little Greek child in Australia, he said people would struggle to deal with his name was. It's Angelos Postecoglou. So I guess it made him a bit different to everyone at school because he had a different name, whatever. So he's had that to come through then because he's from Australian football. Maybe people don't think he's good. Had to prove himself, right? He had a massive argument with this guy, Craig Foster, as an ex-player who was a journalist in Australia. And there's this big famous interview in 2007 when he was the under-20s Australian manager.
Mm-hmm.
And he just goes to town on the guy. And it's really funny. You can watch it on YouTube.
It's still there now.
It's a great interview. And he basically felt he was unemployable after that in Australia. So he had to go. And he set up like some coaching things for kids in the city. And he's from Melbourne. And he went to Greece and managed in the third division there. Came back, couldn't really get jobs. And eventually, like a chance meeting, got him a job. I think it was Brisbane Rovers.
Brisbane Roar. Melbourne Victory for a season before taking over the Australian national team for 4 years.
Yeah.
And then spending 3 years with the Yokohama F. Mariners in Japan.
Absolutely. Celtic. Now he is beloved at Celtic, has won 5 out of 6 trophies.
Beloved. I always think about that word because is it supposed to just be beloved? And people have said beloved for a long time.
How do you say cliche?
I say cliche.
I know.
But sometimes I say cliche.
And that's why I
say
it, because you made me say cliche.
I know, but I don't know whether that's right or not. Or I think that might be the American way of saying it.
Cliche.
I believe it's a bit of a cliche versus we would say cliche. But how would the French say it? What do you think, John?
The French.
Je m'appelle le cliché.
Yeah, I think so.
Cliche?
Yeah.
I think it's fine, cliche. Beloved, though.
There's an interesting Yokohama point there, right? Yeah. So I believe one of the reasons why he has been such a strong candidate at Spurs is pre-interview, he worked with Scott Munn, who is the new CEO at Tottenham. Don't know if he's actually started work, but he's the incoming CEO.
So what
CEO.
You're saying is it's nepotism?
No, it's just prior relationship. So
it's a very kind way of saying nepotism. I have a prior relationship with this man. Yeah. He is my father.
Scott Munn, obviously, Yokohama, part of the CFG. That's probably what they're trying to replicate, which is kind of encouraging for Tottenham because it's been, well, the departments haven't aligned particularly well in the past. So I think it's probably positive.
Okay, fine. Well, John, you've been to Celtic Park this season, haven't you? Which existing Tottenham players do you think are going to benefit from Postecoglou arriving? And also,
that's a good question.
Combo of the two of you, JJ and John, give us a little taste of his play style. Ange. This is Ange we're talking about.
Yeah, I think the story of any club who has been coached by Antonio Conte is that he ruins your squad because he makes them a back three squad.
And your morale, John, and your morale leaves you dead behind the eyes, hating football.
Yeah, well, that guy has a lot to answer for.
Yeah.
And that's the big question. With
wasn't responsible Spurs. For everything. Just everything else was everybody else's fault.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seb's very bitter about this, isn't he?
It was not. It wasn't a happy time. It's not what football is supposed to be. It's not about Antonio Conte. It's about the experience of being a football supporter. It shouldn't be that miserable. And it shouldn't be this kind of constant argument that just, oh my God, drags on social media.
He just wanted you to be better.
But he didn't,
He's one of
though.
The best managers in the world.
Maybe, but then
he had a bad year.
Football isn't just about, to some people it is, but football isn't just about the binary of the league table. It's got to involve. Do you enjoy watching it? Do you have a connection with a coach? Do you like the person coaching a football team? Do you look forward to match days? If the answer to those questions is no, then it's not right somehow. And it may not be purely.
I prefer brutal clinical efficiency.
It's because you can never have that as a Tottenham fan because the club is not built to provide the
efficiency.
But it's not like
brutality.
In this world, if you want to have that, you also need to have the wealth behind you that provides you with it, especially in the Premier League. You can't have Antonio Conte football. Antonio Conte gets all the players he wants, no matter the value of them, and they just drop straight into the team. Well, you can have sort of that at Tottenham, but it's always going to be a little bit of a knockoff version. And so the result is this imperfect situation, which makes everyone absolutely miserable. I promise you.
Go on.
Got that in. Yeah.
There'll be more time later for more hate.
So you've got a squad that's built for basically playing a back three, and that means that you've got wing backs and no wingers.
Pedro Porro.
Yeah, and Ange Postecoglou, as JJ said, uses inverting fullbacks usually, and likes wingers as well. And Spurs don't really have either of those two things. He also likes to have quite
I'd say flamboyant eights who
don't have many of those.
Yeah, exactly. And so he likes to. I'd describe him as quite
Harry
similar
Kane in every one of those positions.
He might be off. Who knows? Yeah.
I describe him as a kind of similar to Marcelo Bielsa in a lot of respects in terms of the in possession play style, and also someone like Erik ten Hag. So it's a lot about direct transitional play. It's about moving the ball quickly, and the eights are really important in that build up. So you build up in wide areas and you try and get the eights into the half spaces, get the ball to them, and then you can form these triangles of a winger, a fullback and an eight to basically move the ball around and get it into the center of the field. And
but the winger is the one that's wide, unusually, like normally it'd be the fullback that's the wide one.
Yeah,
triangle,
well, and
right?
it can flux around, but often you'll see the fullback inverting and not just in the way that you would expect from someone like Guardiola, because for Guardiola, usually that inversion of the fullback is we want to get someone in the middle to give us more control in the build-up phase and give us a little bit of defensive cover as well. Whereas when people like Erik ten Hag and Ange Postecoglou do it, it feels to me a little bit more like those guys are playing as underlapping fullbacks. So they're still going to get forward, but they're going to do it from an inside channel to leave space in the wide areas for the winger.
Yeah.
Still being used to defend in those situations as well and to help out in the build-up. But it feels a lot more, again, it just feels a lot more direct than what you might see from someone like Pep. And I think between those three positions then, you've got no one who can really play as an inverted fullback. You could probably try and, you know, reconstitute one of your wingbacks as an inverting fullback. There's not really anyone I think will really succeed in the eight position. And then in the wide areas, who have you got? You've got like you can play Son as a wide player, but that's not his best position. You've got players like Brian Hill, who's been away most of the season on loan, and then players like Perisic as well, who you could use as a wide player as well. So for me, the big question is like, what does he do with this squad? Does he stick with the 4-3-3 that he's played while he's been at Celtic, or does he change things up?
Well, I've got a question for Michael on the basis of that, because of course Oliver Skip Young Skippy there was on loan at Norwich, wasn't he, for a while? And I mean, we mentioned before that there's a distinct lack of flamboyant eights. I don't think anybody would assume that Oliver Skip was one of those. But do you see Oliver Skip having a role in this Tottenham team? What do you think
it
about?
It depends
him?
What he does with his holding midfielders and stuff like that. I don't know what you guys think in terms of his defensive midfielders. I mean, I loved Ollie Skip in terms of what he did at Norwich, because there was the progression he had in terms of what he learned from his first few weeks of what was effectively his first full season of senior football. And then just his influence on the team, getting forward, reading the game so well, putting out fires. It was a magic season, obviously, at Championship level. I still think there's been lots of good signs of what he's done at Premier League level, but we've seen him a bit more of him.
He's had good moments. He's a good player. I don't think you can... If your aspiration is to be a top four side, which I think Tottenham's is, I don't think there's quite enough of his game in either direction. He's never going to have the defensive responsibility that's given to someone like Højbjerg or Yves Bissouma. He isn't flamboyant. He's not as good with the ball at his feet as someone like Rodrigo Bentancur. He's injured until probably November. He ruptured his cruciate ligament. He's also, I don't think they're going to play. I think he'll be bounced straight out. But Lo Celso is coming back from Villarreal. He'll probably be sold, but he's an option. Tanguy Ndombele has threatened to try and rejuvenate his Tottenham career, which...
Had a good season, didn't he?
Not really. I mean, he was a kind of bystander in Napoli's title when he won a medal, and he played, I think, sort of 800, 900 minutes or something. I don't think he was a factor in what they achieved. I mean, he had a great view of it, but... I don't know. Like I don't see. I think the whole point with this, and I think it's really important in the context of the Postecoglou appointment, if it happens, is this is a very, very long project. There's a lot wrong, a lot of fires to put out, a lot of battles to be fought, a lot of players who need to go, a lot of players who need to arrive. This is not going to get better quickly. Which is,
I think he make that squad a decent team, and I think also he won't just do the way he did at Celtic. And imagine, because the way the squad is built, exactly what John's saying, he'll try and bring in players that he wants to try and change it. But he could easily play, if your build up shape is a 3 and a 2, because he's played 3-4-3 before with Australia, so you know, like he obviously knows the coach. He's a great coach, but he just put Eric Dier, because everyone seems to get Eric Dier in the team, so you can have him do the thing that Pochettino did with him, having swap into the
defense. I don't think it'll be an option. Dier's had surgery, so I don't think he's going to be available immediately for pre-season. Also, Dier's been one of the primary victims of the last couple of years, in that what I'd describe as probably a kind of a 7 out of 10 Premier League player at centre-half, nothing more, has been destroyed by some of his experiences at that position.
Yes, I don't think he's good at it. I don't think he's a great player. I think he's the character.
He's serviceable.
There's a reason every manager plays him, and it's not because of how good he is at football. Yeah. I think it's to do with other things. And you could just make a John Stones out of him. He's not the same player, not the same level, and he gets shown up with it. But you could do that. And then what you do then is make your wing backs become the wingers so you can play the forwards in the half spaces, which makes up for the lack of true eights.
I wonder
there's ways you can do it. You can stick the same principles that Postecoglou's always had, but you just have to change the shape with it.
I mean, the defence, right? I suppose fullback wise, Poro can't play as a fullback. He's a wing back, or maybe
that's why I say he's starting a three with a shifting central defence. Davinson Sanchez could play as a DM.
I think he's going to leave the club this summer.
Well, they'll bring in someone else.
Play Skippy then.
Yeah. A centre half.
Is 22, isn't
it? You're not going to be able to judge his effect quickly. I know that's what people will do. They'll ignore that because that's always what happens. But I think it doesn't really matter who the head coach is at Tottenham, because a lot of other stuff needs to be improved, is probably the most polite way of putting it.
It's quite likely it's not even going very well by November, and he could be sacked, even though it would work in the end.
Yeah, because Tottenham have that tendency. They have the kind of... I also think that for the current board of executives, Daniel Levy particularly, you don't have many bad decisions left. And you're going to be very, very cognizant of all the PR around this and how people are responding, because he ended the season with a large, not a majority, but a significant portion of the crowd inviting him to resign.
That's Spurs' problem, though, isn't it? They don't know what they are. So if you're bringing in Postecoglou, you've got to go, right, this guy needs at least a season to try and build what he's doing, or try and work it out. If you give him like 4 months, it's not working. It's like, well, obviously.
But it's not like it's Arteta. So Arsenal can do that because it's Arteta and he's got a bit of credibility in the bank. And then people with Postecoglou, he just won't have the reputation in England, and all these fans who've never seen him or don't know anything about it will just hound him out. And that's probably what will happen.
Yeah, this thing, I don't think
it doesn't work straight away.
There's no problem in not knowing about somebody. But I think if that's the case, you either have to go and find out if you're interested, or have enough patience so that it reveals itself to you. And hopefully that's the case. Tottenham, I don't know. I'm surprised he took the job, if he takes the job, just because I think they're it's hard. It's a big club in a sense, but it's also a mess in a bigger sense.
I think it's absolutely perfect for him. Like, you think where Spurs are now, the thing with Conte and Mourinho, it not worked. The get a big manager in experiment has not worked. Doesn't work for them. What they need is to rebuild. They might lose players like Harry Kane. The top six has completely changed. It's all different. So what you need is someone who can make them better in a different way. And they don't want to do it with Pochettino. So what you need is someone who's consistently proven that he can make a team that is already half decent into a really good one, is happy to use younger players, happy to work on a really tight budget and recruit that way, and can then play the kind of football you want. If it works, it'll be good. I mean, Spurs, doesn't matter how good Postecoglou does, those players are probably not good enough to beat a lot of the teams in Premier League, especially the ones that improve in the summer. So you have to really work out what your ceiling is.
It worries me, and I know we're going on about Spurs and it's not that interesting for everybody else, but it worries me that if you want to do some of these things, if you want to renovate a squad, and if you want buy-in from people, you've got to have a couple of things that aren't there. You've got to have recruiting tools which understand you properly. So Tottenham need to... First step is appointing someone. The second step is understanding what they've appointed. Tottenham haven't been very good at that in the past. I know Mourinho and Conte are different types of manager.
Jed Spence.
Yeah, but it's like, that's the problem. You appoint something, you don't really know what it is. You've got the name and you've heard of them and you've seen them lift the trophies. Do you think they're good? But you don't actually understand it on a footballing level. And that's been a massive Tottenham weakness. So there's that. Also, if you want to reshape the squad, get rid of players, bring in players, allow sort of the atmosphere to improve, you need to have competent recruitment, and they do not. So it's step one, right? A lot of what will happen with Postecoglou now is not actually in his control, and that's kind of scary. And that's kind of, I get why he takes the job. I understand that, even after the wonderful things he's achieved at Celtic. But also, it's risky. It's not a great place for a coach in his situation at the moment. Hopefully he does well, but it's a tricky one.
Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk about the FA Cup final.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone?
Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
We should talk about the FA Cup final now, because it was a game for the ages, wasn't it, John McKenzie? It was a game that was worth watching.
It certainly felt like it went on for ages.
It did go on for ages, yeah. I walked into the pub to watch this, a pub in Barking, and I was just joking to my friends, "Oh, we'll probably have scored already," and they had scored already. They had. Yeah, it was 45 seconds in.
It was 14 seconds.
It was 14 seconds in. Yeah. They'd already scored.
Yeah, and that sort of changed the tenor of the game. I think it was very much Man City went up and sort of controlled the game. Man United got back in through that penalty, and then they lasted 20 minutes before City scored another, and then it became a game of like, let's just hold on to a positive game state, and that was that.
I came into the office while John was watching the game.
Was he unhappy?
And yeah, so basically, if you haven't been to our office, then well, I'm not going to describe it to you. But I was looking at him from the other side of the office, and all I could see was the top of his head, and then the grumbling noises about everything that was happening during it. So every now and again, when you know, something was happening, I'd hear a...
That is dog.
not sort of a bark, but you were not having a great time. These were tactical grumblings.
Tactical grumblings, okay. Grumblings. Did he have the thinker pose on?
No, because I could only see the top of his head. Because I was behind my own computer.
Because his face was covered with his hands,
yeah,
weeping.
And it was kind of, he was plotting his video and a lot of stuff wasn't happening. Mm. There wasn't going to be a lot of meat on the video bone.
Yeah. Right.
And
right,
it was
right.
There was a bit of...
Wow.
Well, there we go. I watched with the sound off as well, so it made it... It augmented the whole experience.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Why did you watch it with the sound off?
There's no one else in the office, and I just find it easier to concentrate when there's no noise on.
Alex Stewart used to say this as well.
I came into the office and I felt obliged to also watch the game with the sound
you
off.
You could have put it on. I wouldn't have minded that.
I didn't feel that. Okay.
Alex Stewart would have minded.
I need the sound. I need to hear the commentary.
I need to hear what the people are telling me is happening. Yeah. Otherwise, I don't know.
That's why I don't have the sound on.
Yeah, so that you don't get misled.
Or don't get angry at what they're saying.
You don't get angry at what they're
wrong!
Saying.
Yeah.
Wrong!
Yeah. Wrong!
Don't you need people to tell you? Because you say stuff like this, that you need people to tell you what's going on, and then you come in a meeting, you have a video and say, that's a stupid idea, you should do this instead, and then detail everything I should say in a video.
True, but that's more based on what I want it to be. Mm. It's an expert understanding of narrative than it is of truth. Mm. You know what I mean?
I'm just breaking down your comedic
I've
truth.
Noticed really, I really made an effort this year for the podcast to watch football. Mm-hmm. So I spent most weekends I've watched at minimum
it's coincided in fact you're killing the whole fucking thing.
I don't know, I'm not sure they're connected, but
we've talked about football even less.
I know. I imagine that. What a waste of time.
Yeah.
But I've watched minimum two games a weekend this season. And in many cases,
pretty good effort.
Up to four, you know? Yeah. Too many that's on my lot, days off. But what I was doing, because there was more football to watch, I was only starting to watch it when it started, yeah? No, I wasn't getting in there for the sort of 15 minutes beforehand. And then over the last sort of month or so, you know, checked out a little bit there, here and there, you know.
Really?
And yeah, you know, surprised you've noticed.
Hide it well.
But I watched, you know, I've been watching more like the 15 minutes beforehand. It's great, better than watching the game. Don't need to watch the game, just watch the 15 minutes beforehand, and then you sort of learn mostly what, for my job, I mean, not for a football fan, but I was like, oh, that's what they're talking about. Or they'll say the name of a player I've just never heard of before, been there for 6 years. You know, I'll go, oh, yeah. And then I'll come into the podcast and say, what do you think of Mitoma? You know? And, you know, I genuinely had a conversation about an hour ago in the other end of the office where someone who works for me was saying, yeah, we've got this situation ongoing. And they said a player's name. And I just nodded. I just nodded along and said, yeah, is that? Yeah. And he said, yeah. And I went, okay. And then I walked away. I don't know who that person is. Can't even remember the name. Couldn't tell you if I wanted to. You know, I've gone on for a long time.
It technically counted as talking about football, though. So it's
it sort of did, didn't it? Because I was adjacent. Talking about football. Yeah. Anyway, Man City won the FA Cup final which means that they are one step away from the treble. We'll talk about that in the live shows coming up this week, so we won't, you know, dwell too long on the potential treble. But I suppose as one stumbling block, the most fearful stumbling block for a block.
Stumbling block.
Stumbles.
The most fearful stumbling block for Manchester Who? City was would have been losing the potential of attaining the treble to their old rivals. Oh, Manchester United. You know what I'm saying? You got what I'm saying? Arr.
Yes.
It's true, isn't it? Yeah.
Was there a question in there?
Well, like the question was, he answered it.
Because I like to do that now.
Yeah.
So if you ask me a closed question, I'm going to respond the way that...
Right.
That way.
Okay. Yeah. Ash Dyke was invited to 10 Downing Street.
Who's that?
He's that guy I was talking about before. Oh, Laura.
The Explorer.
Yeah.
He's a head of finance.
He received an award, the 2015 UK Adventurer of the Year.
Wow.
And the 2016 did Welsh
Steve
Adventurer.
Did Steve Hankey put this into the plan?
He did, and then he wrote clearly the highest achieving alumnus of his school.
But he turned up.
What are you trying to say, Joe? You do a podcast about dragons and pirates. And this guy is taking a trailer across Mongolia.
It's literally a real person. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, it's just when you look back on life, isn't it? And you think about how it could have been.
You could have been an adventurer.
What do you think?
No.
I'm too big to be an adventurer.
You've been worst person to do that ever.
Where's the co-op?
Yeah, they don't have Pret tuna crunch baguettes in the jungle, do they?
No, they don't. No. I really don't like nature.
No,
would be an issue.
Don't like bugs, little creepy crawlies. Don't like it when it's too hot or cold.
What's the optimum temperature at that point?
I'd say 11 degrees, 10 degrees.
That's cold.
No. Come on. Listen.
For exploring, though.
When you've got as much meat on the bone as I do, the temperature, what's cold and cool and core, you know.
You have to explore England, I think, if that's your optimum temperature.
No, even
you
have
to drag
a
caravan
through mosquitoes.
Milton Keynes.
Well, a couple of things that would make him good as an adventurer explorer would be that you'd be able to last longer without food than other people. Because it's more of you, so you'd take longer to die.
Is that true, though?
I don't know. Also, I suspect...
There's more of him to be attacked by wild animals. And also,
yeah, because I think...
I use a lot more energy than a normal person.
A wolf
person.
Would kill me, but I bet you could have a good old battle with one.
Do you think I could beat a wolf?
I think you could have a good go at it.
I could sit on it.
Yeah, you could sit on the wolf. This is your special move, though. You just go like, Joe, smash, and you fly in the air. Yeah. Brong!
And then sit on the wolf,
sit down like a...
Bum first.
Yeah.
Legs up here as well.
Yeah, you crushed him.
Yeah.
And then a gold
coin. Hope the wolf doesn't look up at the last minute.
And then a gold coin comes out and you can collect the coin. Yeah. And then if you get that, you get to the end of the level, then you keep going.
That's right, man.
Yeah.
I think I would have made a bad adventurer.
I mean,
I think I could see you in sort of like the 1700s being carried in a box, probably by me and JJ.
Well, I do like to wear you saw those white British colonial outfits when I go on holiday.
That's true.
It's a really good video game we made. There's a side scroller where you just like spring in the air.
Yeah,
it'd crush be good. Things.
Yeah.
I saw something on Twitter.
Hello there, Jerry.
And in the video game, when you like your hearts run out, you know, like you bump into a person and you lose a heart, then you could get health back by getting tuna baguettes from Pret.
That's true.
Along the
I
way.
I think Pret would be interested in getting involved in the sponsorship of the game as
they
well.
They could build this as a web app. I mean, this is probably doable.
It would be a computer game called Joe.
I bet with ChatGPT I could code this. I bet I could do it.
You think so?
Yeah.
Give it a try. Yeah.
I had lots of stuff to do for actual work.
Another one of your excellent business ideas.
No podcast, so just use the podcast make it probably.
Yeah,
you have to lower the tone, don't you, Michael?
Well, this is interesting.
It's really happening. I can't like hide it.
Steve Hankey's written in the chat here, let's look for a moment to get rid of Michael in the near future.
Fair enough. Cheers.
Before
Which
we
is
let
how
you
this
go.
All started, really, isn't it?
Now, of course, we're swapping you over with Pinder, with Dr. Pins.
Lovely.
Because we've only got five. Literally, the reason is because we only have five microphones in here.
Yeah.
And it would have been a faff. But before we let you go, let me ask you.
Oh,
what
yeah.
What was your favourite memory of hosting the TIFO podcast in the current format, of course? Because it's not actually going. And we may well hear from you as a host in the future if and when you want to interview someone.
I think that's on me, isn't it, to come up
that's
with the
on
ideas,
you. Yeah,
why
yeah.
and
that's
who.
That's
so
on
I'll,
you.
I'll take that way. If Absolutely. I don't turn up, it's my fault.
It's your fault, yeah.
Well, I loved hosting it, although I missed that you weren't on it.
Sure.
But these guys are always amazing.
I was sad that you were on it when I wasn't as well.
Well, you did appear in the background of one.
That's
once,
true, yeah.
That was probably my favourite moment, actually, and I only realised it, obviously, afterwards.
Because the other host was seen through a door. Looking,
just watching. Why is he there? Has he not? He's not supposed to be there. Has he come in just in case? What's going on?
Yeah.
Well, we did that one where I, you know, had lots of coffees and I don't know what happened, but that was...
Oh, the infamous coffee gate one, yeah.
That was fun.
Yeah.
I can't remember any of it, but I just know I enjoyed it. I remember the feeling. And I think all of us who enjoy this podcast, we'll just take away the feelings.
We'll just take the feelings. Yeah. Okay. Well, listen, it's been terrific.
Get out.
To share a space with you.
Thanks.
We love you, Michael Bailey.
I love you all.
You're
very much.
You're a great guy.
Too much, really.
Read Michael Bailey's work on The Athletic. Follow Michael Bailey's TikTok, actually. It's quite
Go
fun.
To his LinkedIn.
LinkedIn.
I believe he's got a really good LinkedIn.
Follow him on the TikTok.
Big great network. Network. Big network.
Lots of motivating. Lots aphorisms
get
everywhere.
Get on with it.
If you want to hear him rip off Gandhi on a weekly basis, hit MJ Bailey's LinkedIn. But thanks very much. We'll go for a break now. When we come back, magically, in place of Michael Bailey, will be Ruben the Baby Boy Pinder. So we'll see you in a moment. Okay, folks, Mother Nature has given us a little gift here. Squeezed out of her very own vaginal canal, it's Ruben the Baby Boy Pinder. Is that fine?
Is that the first time the word vaginal has ever been said on this podcast?
Surprisingly, probably not, no.
It's likely.
But, doesn't that mean it has to come with like an explicit tag now or something?
I think we'd already sworn. I don't think vaginal is
I don't think
a
we're scared of
word.
Women, are we? Are we scared of women on this?
Well, Joe is, because we established earlier, didn't go to his high school thing.
Vaginal is not a curse word, of course. And we should never suggest that it would
correct.
Be. Because it's simply...
I mean, more that it's not that. It's more that it might be deemed like sexually explicit or something like that, unless it's educational terms.
Do you think childbirth is sexual?
No, I do not.
Because you're giving off some very confusing... do you know what? I watched a bit of the Piles episode the other day, and you were similarly... you weren't keen to discuss Piles.
No.
I think maybe you've got a fear of the human body.
I think I do, yeah. I don't like hospitals.
I think you need to address
doctors
that as an individual.
Yeah.
But don't give our listeners the idea that discussing either things that may be vaginal or hemorrhoid related, that it's all fine waters. We should be discussing these things on a daily basis.
Anyway, hello.
Yeah, for sure. Ruben, we'll come back to you in a second. JJ, historically, you must have had, what's the worst illness? When's the closest you've ever been to dying?
I've never been close. Oh, maybe glandular fever. That was pretty bad. Yeah.
You had bad glandular fever. Yeah. When was that?
When I was in at high school, or academy, as we called it, not high school.
You were at academy?
Yes, that's what we say. We don't say high school where I'm from.
Okay, yeah.
But I say it so everyone else knows what I'm talking about.
And what happened to you? Did you have to go to a hospital?
No.
You've never been to a hospital?
I think someone in my class did, though, with the same thing I had.
Right.
So there's a few people got it at the same time, and one guy had to go in.
But you're just made of stronger stuff, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay. Cool.
I don't want to have to go to hospital.
What's going to happen when they move you into an elderly person's home? Are you worried about that?
Well, as we've established, when I'm going to die...
Weird
I'm
way of saying that, wasn't it? Just going to move him into an elderly person's home.
Well, John, it will be you and I that will have to take care of him.
I was going to say, who's they? Like the men in the coats.
You're the youngest here, Ruben. It'll be you.
Yeah. We're relying on you.
Come on, Uncle JJ, let's get you to bed.
It's going to be great here. There's all football and wizards in there. Yeah, there's skeletons in there.
None of the Bundesliga, don't worry. None of the Bundesliga.
German football can't hurt you anymore.
It can't.
Well, do you know, some of what I'm about to say will be censored in the podcast. But when I know I'm likely to die of some sort of disease, I'm going to do and then fill a car full of come on, man.
I love that you just said some of this will be cut.
Yeah.
which bit?
As I want to do.
Yeah, I think that's... I think
hire a car, because that's funnier as well, because then they'll get their car back.
They get their car back. So, they get insurance, though. They probably love when people do.
Yeah, good luck getting insurance for that.
Act of God, yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely, I'll feel like it at the time. I wonder how much of that made it into the cut.
I don't know. What do you think, Steve?
The partial problem with that is
let's say hi again to Ruben Pinder now. Hi, Ruben. It's lovely for you to join us today.
Yeah, it's nice to see you.
Thanks for being here.
My pleasure.
Yeah. Now, listen, Ruben is a relatively new member of the TIFO Football Podcast team, and he's done us the kind service all of putting together a short supercut of his favourite moments or it, moments that he how you describe it.
I mean, there's a bit of recency bias in this. Like, it's more newer than older bits.
Well,
but
it's easier to find those bits.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think it's the same as when people ask you if you've seen a film that came out before you were born. It's not, you know. And in your case,
I was literally born on March the 6th. Yeah. So it's a couple of minutes of a much longer one, which the audience may be able to view at some point in full.
Okay, lovely.
But yeah, it's just funny things that made me laugh as I was trawling through the archives over the last couple of weeks.
Over the last few months, yeah. Lovely. All right, well, I'll tell you what, we can all watch it now on the screen, and I imagine the people at home will be able to watch it on their screen as well. And get if there are cuts
listeners, though,
to us, I quite like the idea that if there's cuts to us to see our reactions to ourselves, that it'll be very unclear whether that's part of the highlight reel or not, because we're in the same room, and possibly I might be wearing the same one.
You're wearing the same clothes.
Have I got the top on as well?
Yeah.
Look, I didn't plan this, guys. I just don't have many clothes. Okay, thanks, Ruben. Let's enjoy this.
Put it in your mouth.
Interesting. Oh, I like it. Saucy. Don't know why I said that either. I'm having a weird day.
When it comes to eagles, you are
all
such
I'm saying
a
is,
dick.
Seagulls can eat up to 20% of its body weight in food each day.
You don't matter to us at all. We don't think about you ever or care about you.
Maybe there is hope
but
in my life.
But they're afraid.
You know, my life could be something else. I could achieve things.
I'm hopeful that maybe Arsenal could do the Winders League.
Shush up, Steve Hankey. Get back in your cave. We've assessed Steve Hankey's injuries. He'll never make love again.
When he fell off his chair.
Hey, will you cheer me up by doing your Wayne Rooney thing again?
Rooney!
Oh, isn't that nice?
It's always good, that. Oh, it's always good, that.
I love that. And once more?
Well, it's better when it comes in the middle of a sentence when you don't expect it.
Okay, so at some point... At some point before the end of this podcast, you'll surprise us with a Rooney.
I had to keep going long, and then Kramaric couldn't hold it up, so they were just kept numb. So it was very much a nil-nil. Rooney!
Have you never seen the inside of an employment tribunal? Mm.
You're not going to eat all of these apples. Some of them are going to go off. And I feel as though that's what Todd Bowley's done. He's bought... Right. Who
what
cares
kind
about
of apples
values
is Mrs. McKenzie buying?
She's a fan of the Granny Smith.
As part of my mandate, it's about
as
bringing down...
Mandate. Oh, I see.
Down the Bundesliga.
I thought it was the Scottish football.
Yeah, it's both.
Ruben, the baby boy Pinder, hello.
Now, you may be sad... But because everything dies, okay? Everything and everyone dies. You will die.
That's true. You will die.
Yeah. That's a pretty good job from Ruben.
Yeah, thanks, yes. Ruben.
Well done,
Ruben.
Fun.
Well done.
Thank you.
That apples bit was fun, wasn't it? Remember the apples
enjoyed
bit?
That. Actually, a brilliant analogy as well.
Yeah, it actually very true. Mm. Yeah.
You got partridged for that.
Did you? Oh, you did,
partridged.
Didn't you?
Yeah. Even though it was clearly a bit, so it shouldn't be...
Or was it?
Was it indeed? Hard to tell. Well, there we go. Yeah. Some choice moments. Thanks for that,
no worries.
Ruben Pinder. And thanks for joining us for the second half of this podcast, where we're about to discuss the Europa League final. Did you watch that one?
Watch is maybe, kind of. It was on.
Yeah, sure.
It was on in my house.
It was around you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did anyone watch it?
I wasn't actively watching it.
Well, I don't think so.
I was passively watching it.
I think it's worth saying that Sevilla won on penalties, and I think we agree it's their seventh Europa League trophy, which is quite incredible, and is the majority of Europa Leagues that have ever been. So that's
it's
kind of
13
funny.
And they've won seven. Yeah.
Seven out of 13. Well done to Sevilla. But of course, the reason that most people discussed this, who would watch the game, of course, that seems like a stupid idea, is because Jose Mourinho had a little bit of antics afterwards there, didn't he? Do you know about that, Ruben Pinder? Tell us about that one.
Well, he... supposedly waited for Anthony Taylor in the car park to shout lots of abuse at him.
The referee, Anthony Taylor.
The referee, Anthony Taylor, who is an excellent professional. Mm. And then Jose Mourinho didn't do this, but Roma fans were haranguing Taylor in the airport as well. And he looked not particularly well protected. And it looked quite traumatising for the referee, to be honest.
That's right. And he was with his family.
Yeah, his
daughter
young
was
daughter.
There as well. So that's not nice. We've spoken about referees on this podcast before in relation to like the Mitrovic incident earlier this season and things like that. And this is like slightly different, but I just do think that there is too much discourse in football that doesn't that seems to forget that referees are human beings.
Yeah, I forget too. I think that they are sort of cyborgy, you know, that they're they've got a little bit of the old AI in them,
and that VAR isn't a person but a robot.
Agree, agree for sure. Well, anyway, this is from taken from The Athletic. Jose Mourinho has been charged by UEFA for directing, quote, abusive language towards referee Anthony Taylor during the Europa League final. The 60-year-old took his frustration out on Premier League official Taylor during and after Roma's penalty shootout defeat by Sevilla. Mourinho accused Taylor of faving Sevilla by suggesting that he seemed Spanish to me. Now, what is it about Anthony Taylor, do you think, JJ Bull, that seems Spanish?
I think it's all the hats he wears.
Yeah.
Also,
Spanish people do wear a lot of hats, don't they?
I'm not sure. I think that this was Mourinho maybe like 10, 15 years ago, and it's in the Premier League. This, we were talking about this a bit maybe on text message earlier, right? But like, I think what Mourinho's done here is kind of pathetic, and it's kind of ruined a lot of respect I had for him, because I still like think he's obviously a very one of the best coaches of his generation.
Yeah.
Hugely influential in football. Like when he came into the Premier League and played this 4-2-3-1 that everyone started copying. Like he was really seemed ahead of his game, and people revered him as a coach.
To add to what you're saying, in the car park, he was also seen shouting, quote, "You are a fucking disgrace. It is a disgrace."
Well, there we go, right? And the thing is, right, if he'd done it in the Premier League, you might think, right, he's just doing that thing he does to try and make sure that the referees are more friendly to him next time because they're scared of the reaction they might get, because he would be maybe not shared on social media and off camera, because you forget how much the world has changed in about 20 years. So where like iPhones about 2007, weren't they? Something like that. So now like everything you do, that will be filmed. That would never have seen the light of day 20 years ago. That would never have happened. Now, Sir Alex Ferguson famously would have lots of visits to referees and say many things to them, none of which have ever been broadcast on social media.
Yeah.
I bet he would have said things that he maybe would regret now at the time, but in the heat moment, does all these sorts of things. That's a way to manage. You're trying to manage things around you, and he was like a master of that and is revered for like the way he mastered that part of the off-the-pitch game.
Yeah.
If Mourinho had done that in the Premier League and he's trying to manage it, you can sort of see it. Just doing it after a stupid final that you've lost.
Yeah.
Like, to the guy in the car park, he's never probably going to manage a team or be a referee for one of his games in the future.
I mean, often the defence is that Mourinho takes the ire away from his players who've lost the game, and he puts it upon himself by saying something sort of outlandish or reckless in a post-match interview, right? So then the discussion from the media in the following days is about him instead of what
actually
happened in the football.
That's a reason, though, not an excuse.
It's a reason. It's certainly not an excuse. But in this case, it's the last game of Roma's season. Roma have had not a great season. They spent quite a lot of money and they did not finish in the top four in Serie A. I think it was very clear for the last couple of months that this was Mourinho's best route to the Champions League with Roma, if he did want to secure that. And I think there's no other way than looking at Mourinho and Roma's season and saying, well, it's a failure. I mean, it's a failure, right? Is it not? Is that unfair?
Well, they re-qualify for the Europa League on Sunday night, so that's good news. I don't think Mourinho's going to be...
spent a lot of money, though.
Yeah, the season before last, he spent a lot of money. This season, he didn't. But it's just about he got beaten. He wanted to create a topic beyond that defeat. And it's why when he was in the car park, some of the things he said were in Italian, in English. You know, this is because he wants them to be translated. He wants to give the kind of the signpost to all the Roma fans. Yeah, there's an injustice. Injustice from that game is complete fiction. Anthony Taylor did a good job. It's worth saying that Sevilla, their players, their technical staff, not angels either. And I thought that like the game as a spectacle was ruined by everything that happened during it. But this is what Mourinho does. I think it's more interesting probably to talk about the fact that why do you play like that? Given the resources at your disposal, the talent available to you. Sevilla are the better team, had more of the ball, created more chances. Roma probably created the better chances, but Sevilla had more of them. Didn't get a penalty, so what? You'd have probably missed it anyway.
Do you know
based on the penalty shootout, right? Like, Sevilla deservedly won that game. Mourinho's... it's frustrating that we all go for it. And the egregiousness of what ended up happening in the airport, not just to Anthony Taylor, but his daughters and his wife, I think, were involved in that. Oh, it's pathetic. It's pathetic. Have to sanction him. You have to just say, you can't trust football fans to behave themselves in that situation. You lost the final, you're disappointed. It happens. Shouldn't. And there's got to be questions about security around Anthony Taylor too in that situation. But you have to say, right? You are not going to coach a game in a UEFA competition for a year now. Wherever you are, you're just not going to do it. Because it's just mindless.
Like that stuff with like Mourinho, we just described things he's always done, right? So, and we are now talking about Mourinho rather than Roma's performance, really, which is exactly what he wants
to do.
That's
what he wanted. Yeah, it's designed that way.
He is like a genius at doing this. He's done it in a way that is, I don't like it, but this has worked again for him. I wonder how important the camera is in this, because does he know the camera's there? If it's not the camera, right, not there, he's doing that. Is he doing that anyway? Is that something that loads of managers have done in the past that we don't know because we're not like privy to a lot of this stuff, right? We just sit around a podcast table and we watch the games on TV or whatever, and sometimes you go to a mix zone, you get some things like that. So a lot of this stuff we won't have seen. Is it performative or is it a thing he's actually done? Is it reactive or is it manipulative and strategic? Because Roma might be galvanised.
It's quite a deep question here, though, isn't it? Yeah. Because if you do something that is initially performative but you do it for 15 years... Where does it begin and where does your identity and your personality start?
And does it matter if the camera's there or not, if he's doing it? Do you know what I mean?
Isn't the difference that he used to win tournaments and leagues more regularly?
People said it was good.
So people were like, it was good. Now he doesn't win those games. And so people are like, this just looks a bit rubbish.
I think his performance in winning the Conference League last season was, I think it was admirable. I think he's extremely popular in Roma. I think... like a good rule of thumb with Mourinho is to assume that he does nothing by accident ever. And I think that's a shame because I think that what would have been very interesting is instead of us talking about his period of dominance and his period of excellence and when he was genuinely an innovator within the game, I think one of the most interesting things that can happen with a coaching career is the reinvention. I talked about Ferguson earlier. Like Ferguson's great underappreciated value is he changed the way he thought about the game. Guardiola has done that too. Guardiola did that within the space of this season, actually. And that's fascinating. That's a really interesting, fresh topic. With Mourinho, it's just before and after, black and white, angel, fallen angel. It's that stuff. And it's kind of, it's sad because there is still an amazing football mind, an amazing capacity for detail and layered thinking, and the ability to, one of Mourinho's famous quotes is, you know, his ability to put flour in the gas tank. That's the way he described Inter Milan beating Barcelona all those years ago. Like Mourinho's ability to derail a more powerful team is an incredible thing within the context of his career. And yet instead of that, we're talking about his technical staff haranguing a referee after every single decision from minute one. Did the same in Leverkusen. And what Mourinho would say about all the grievances that Leverkusen had that night, 23 shots to one or whatever it is probably enjoyed all the more because he'd gone to Leverkusen, upended a better team, kind of changed the story around. Xabi Alonso is one of the great coming managers in European football. And he'd be like, I love the fact that everyone's moaning about this. So that's the advice for Sevilla.
Haven't his staff had like 11 red cards this season?
Something like that, really. Yeah. Everything
he does now, I just get... he just gives off the vibe of, you know, that Lemmy sketch where he's like, he's turn the winds against us. It's just, that is Jose.
It's
now.
The Simpsons meme, isn't it? Am I out of touch? No, it's the refs who are wrong.
It's a shame.
There's lots of memes applicable to Jose Mourinho now.
Wouldn't you have been fascinated to see how Jose Mourinho changed? Like, to sort of plot his way back to not quite relevance, but ultimate success, Guardiola level success. That would have been fascinating.
But like a lot of what probably worked in his early years so well at Chelsea, Inter Milan and Real is that he was honestly probably a bit younger and had more of a connection with the people he was managing. And I think it changes. Arsene Wenger's talked about this a lot. When he started being a manager at Arsenal, he was however old he was, you know, 38, 40, whatever, maybe 45. So he was people's dad's age. Yeah. By the time he finished, he was a granddad's kind of age. So there's a slight disconnect and maybe the connection with that. And that maybe is something, and in teams he's worked with have been not as good as the early ones in his team. But he's done these sorts of things forever. And not to reiterate the point, like I almost think now I regret saying that it's pathetic what he's done because he's doing it to get something that he wants. So that's he's managing out of the pitch, he's managing off of it. And would we be talking about it if he'd done the same thing in a closed dressing room, like many managers have definitely done in the past, and they go and like lay into them. So then he would get that same, you know, effect of this. But then what he's done now is just change the narrative all in its head, all about him again. He can handle the pressure because he loves it. Like I don't know if he loves it, but he knows how to do it. I can handle that. And so that swings everything. We are talking about Mourinho. He's box office, so everyone talks about him. Don't forget about Roma. The fans are all like, oh yeah, everyone's against us. The bad part is that, as we've seen in many parts of society, people don't understand how to behave in real life. And so then they behave in a way they should not to Anthony Taylor in real life. Because it should be, I mean, it's a bit like wrestling, right? Mourinho makes it like WWE. by doing these things, which makes it inherently entertaining and becomes like a soap opera, which is what wrestling is. And what I think a lot of people actually like about Premier League football, especially, they don't actually watch the game. They want to know who their team's going to sign. Like, they want to know all the stuff about it. Exactly. And it's basically, it's a TV show, is what the Premier League is. And when you think about it, that's what it is. It's really entertaining and you can't really predict it. It's why live sport is so valuable to broadcasters. And Mourinho's one of the best at it. So when you get him in this sort of situation, if he'd done it in closed doors, he might get the same result he wants with referees being a bit like, oh, I'm not sure about this. Maybe just subconsciously you might think of certain things when you're next refereeing a game with him. But he then changes everything the way he wants. He's managed the team, the club, the way he wants. He'll be remembered in Rome very fondly because of the way he reacted against a perceived injustice, which never was.
It's just a shame because I remember looking forward to that final. I knew kind of what it would be, but I just remember thinking, like, the technical matchup between those two sides was really quite compelling. And
I guess it's also it sets an example, right? It's I don't know whether it would be fair to say or not. Does the thing at the airport happen if Mourinho doesn't do the thing in the car park?
Right? Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe it does. Maybe it doesn't. And I'm sure drawing a direct correlation between the two of them. And so,
we know about this. We know about this because of the social media videos, right? So, again, 20 years ago, maybe that did happen, but we didn't see it. It wasn't reported
maybe,
in the same
maybe
way.
Maybe it does, but maybe, you know, like, maybe there's a kind of galvanizing effect. Like,
I think it's fair to say that Mourinho haranguing Anthony Taylor in that car park doesn't help.
No, that's
like,
sure.
It doesn't decrease the chances of that happening.
I find it quite weird.
It normalises the behaviour.
Exactly. I find it strange that Anthony Taylor was in that situation in the first place. It feels weird to me, logistically, that he would be put in a position where, like, even if none of this happens and Roma still lose the game and they're having a tantrum or sulking or they're disputing a decision, whatever, like, any football fan base in the world gives a referee grief in that situation. Mm. Why is he there? And why is he there sort of with his, like, family without protection?
Isn't he travelling in an airport?
No, but I understand. But then shouldn't there be an avenue within the airport or a procedure which means that his schedule does not align with...
The fast track bit? Is he not just getting on the plane that bit?
No, I mean the flight-wise. Like,
do you think referees have their own
queue? They should get the same level of protection and privacy through the airport that the players get.
They should have their own plane, which is in the colours of like the referees.
Referee colours.
Yeah.
Just a bright yellow plane.
I was going to say, can we talk about goblins now or something? I feel like I've been serious for
very
an awful
serious.
Long time. Yeah.
Well, sure we can. Thanks for all those contributions. Much appreciated. Now, that's football. I think left on the list for us to do is, and we've got Ruben Pinder here for this as well, is Steve Hanke asked us to prepare some questions that we'd like to ask the panel or ask each other. And we also asked some questions of the audience for a little Q&A section here at the end.
Probably ignore those ones.
Well, I've got a couple here to get us started, Stafford Bloor. I've got a couple. One of them is, does Seb actually have warm hands and a cool embrace? Warm hands and a warm embrace. Bit of a sweaty man, I have to say.
You are sweating at the moment.
I know. I have actually asked Steve to put the aircon on because we've been in here for almost over an hour and a half. And it gets warm in here.
It does get warm without the air conditioning.
And it gets hot.
A lot more higher than 11 degrees, Joe.
What's that from?
I feel like I'm down in my plums.
Down in my plums. Yeah. It gets hot and sweaty. Anyway, here's a good one.
To the farmer's market.
Oh, yeah, from Isaac Newton, of all people. I imagine that.
Long time listener.
Isaac Newton.
First time commenter.
Asks, where can I still listen to JJ and John's analysis of the weekend's football manager? They were the best hands down. That's what Isaac Newton says. Isaac Newton fucking hates Seb Stephen. He says this guy over here, real tosser. There was a discussion that...
I've got a plan for that. Yeah.
There's a plan for it, but whatever the plan is, whether we are ready or not to reveal it...
Not yet, no.
Not yet. But it will happen on TIFO IRL on the YouTube channel.
Please do subscribe to TIFO IRL on YouTube. That would be really nice.
Yeah. It's worth saying at this point, too, if you are an audio listener and you're listening through your mobile device, Spotify, your podcast aggregator, do subscribe to TIFO IRL, where the video of the podcast has been released before, because you'll see JJ and John regularly there. And that it sounds like there is a plan to offer a little bit of analysis of the weekend's football, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, big winks. Nice, that's right. Nice. Okay, here's a question for John McKenzie from A Solid 6 Inches. I didn't really read that before I said it out loud. A Solid 6 Inches asks, for John's future interviews, Who is his dream guest?
Oh, wow.
And now, this doesn't have to be a guest that you can actually attain.
Okay.
So I think feel free to go...
Isaac Newton.
Yeah. I think I would go Marcelo Bielsa because he never gives interviews. So yeah. I think that's a pretty easy one.
How excited would you be if you got
a I've actually Bielsa spoken to him before in a press conference setting.
Sure.
And I was...
Did your heart flutter?
Yeah. Well, I was just... I asked the question and the whole time I was just going, fuck, inside my head.
Was this the one where he did that really long presentation to all the press?
It wasn't
elite.
That one, no. I went into a couple of press conferences with him, and it was a very weird experience because you're obviously speaking to him through a translator, and so you don't really know who you're supposed to be looking at. Do you look at the translator when you speak to him, or do you look at him when you speak to him? It's very awkward, but I'm glad that I had the opportunity to ask him a really banal question about deep tissue injuries and Leeds players.
The sort of question that would identify you as an interesting person.
Yes.
Necessity for a translator might make that episode.
What can I ask that'll make him like me?
That's true. Yeah.
Well, here's something that Tej Shanbach has asked you, JJ, that I think might make you like Tej. What's the most outrageous sound that JJ can produce? Do you want me to go around with
what's
a few more?
What's the definition of outrageous?
And you can have 5 minutes to think about this. Similar to that Rooney clip we watched, at any point in the next 10 minutes, if you want to make an outrageous sound.
Shockingly bad or excessive.
Yeah, well...
very bold and unusual and rather shocking.
That's most of the things that you say. Yeah. Okay, fine.
Cunt!
That was shocking.
That actually made me jump.
Okay, well, that was fun. Does anyone have any questions they would like to ask each other?
I've got a couple.
What are yours, Seb?
Okay, so I've got some prepared. I'm going to go round one by one.
Okay.
I'll start with you, Joe Devine, and ask you, what has been your scariest TIFO moment?
My scariest TIFO podcast moment?
No. Scariest TIFO moment, generally.
Just to be clear, TIFO is not ending, just the podcast in the current format.
And actually, the podcast isn't even ending.
No.
Just the current format.
Please do listen to the next form of the podcast.
Yeah. In fact, I've got a couple of things to say, things coming up later. What's been my scariest moment?
Scariest moment. Interpret that however you want.
I'm trying to think if I can say these ones.
There are a couple you definitely can't.
Well, there were times before, and again, this sounds like it's... TIFO continues. I'm staying here. I'm just not doing the podcast anymore. But do you remember before the Athletic acquisition?
Yes.
There were a couple of times we weren't sure if we were going to get paid. So, you know, just because it was tight. It was like a tight couple of months there, wasn't there? Anyway, it's all fine now. Money, baby. Yeah, ask a different question to someone else because we don't have time to go around.
I've got one for JJ. Yeah. So, with some caveats, if you had to play an instrument in any band, what would it be and for whom? And you cannot replace somebody who is already playing that instrument.
Well, you have to add
the oboe to the Foo Fighters.
Yeah, well, the Hives are the best live bands like ever. So, but they've got loads of guitars already.
What are you going to add to that?
Add just a thing.
Just make a smash on the guitar. Yeah. Without doing that,
you could Bez for the Hives. What's the Swedish version of Bez? Bez.
I don't know. I would like to play guitar in the Eagles, although they sound like real jerks. So maybe not. So many bands. I would like to play anything.
I could see you adding the second guitar in Placebo and bringing that hair down.
I wouldn't do that.
Getting a bit of eye makeup on.
I didn't really like Placebo. I mean, something
you didn't like Placebo?
Like, I'd like to play guitar. Phoenix are great, you know. LCD Sound System, I'd do something with them. That'd be good. That'd be fun, yeah. Fine, play guitar for them, yeah.
Fine. Anyone else?
I have a question for John McKenzie.
Remember to ask it into your microphone.
But I also need to see it on my screen.
The real reason we have to end the podcast is because fucking microphone after 7 years.
John, what is your least favourite analytics metric?
That's a good one.
I mean, they can all be annoying, can't they? I think I'm going to go with expected threat.
Why?
Is that a thing?
Why do you hate it? Why do you hate expected threat and the people that kind of invent it?
I feel like expected threat is quite high on Seb right now. Yeah.
Expected threat is basically a metric which is designed... Because, you know, with XG, you can only work out when you had a good chance of scoring by if they kick the ball and have a shot. Expected threat is supposed to mitigate that by saying, if you're closer to the goal,
then you're generating more threat. So it essentially assesses all of the moments in a game and says this team was more threatening than the other team. But obviously, that all that tells you is that one team was closer to the goal most of the time than the other team, which is, I don't think, particularly useful as a metric.
Well, there's a new metric that we use to measure Aberdeen games called expected dread.
The longer the note, the more dread.
Yes.
Yes.
I didn't realise this was part of the plan, this section, but I have a question.
We didn't tell you.
A question for you. Well, for anyone, really. Throw it to the floor. What is your death row meal?
Death row meal. It's going to have potatoes in it.
Yeah.
To be honest, I might say like five different preparations of potato.
Did you know?
I'd have mash, dauphinoise. I'd have baked potato. I'd have the dauphinoise and the mash in the baked potato. And can I have cheese in it as well? I can have whatever I want. It's a death row meal. I'd have five different presentations and preparations of potato and five different cheeses, the cheese to match. And then I'd have...
Any meat or any veg.
I'd have a huge bottle of that.
It's just cheddar. Cheddar.
I want cheddar red Leicester. I'd like a double Gloucestershire.
Single Gloucestershire.
I want a big, 70 centilitres. I want 70 centilitres of that honey Jack Daniels, you know.
70 litres of honey Jack Daniels.
So I want 70 litres.
A magnum of Jack Daniels.
And that's how I go out. I just drink 70 litres.
I'm going to add that to my car drive.
Yeah. A bit of Joe Devine trivia. So during the World Cup, I stayed with Joe and his lovely wife, and we would get back quite late. So
Separate rooms,
yeah.
Me and my wife were in the same room. Seb was in a different room, yeah.
And we get back about sort of midnight or, you know, 12:30, and, you know, it wasn't always easy to find food. And there was one night where Jess said, I'm hungry, I'm gonna go find something to eat. And he went into the kitchen and he could hear all this sort of rustling and, you know, trying to find something. I thought, he's gonna cook himself a meal. He comes back out and he's made himself a cream tea with scones and jam and clotted cream. And I have a picture of it.
Someone sent me
I have a picture of it.
It was great. I thought you were going to say that I drank a lot every night.
Because I was just, you did. But
I went through a lot of whiskey during the World Cup. I'd get home.
Nice spice rum.
And within sometimes it was spice rum. But Seb and I would get home and I would go into the kitchen and I would pour myself in a pint glass. I would pour myself a whiskey and coke or a rum and coke, but with a helping that I think it's not unfair to say is probably generous. like a quintuple. And I would drink it in 5 minutes and then be hammered for about 2 hours.
And we'd have conversations about things like the worst character on Game of Thrones as I'd watch you get more and more drunk through the night.
See, I've only ever seen Joe drunk once properly, even though we've been to.
You've got to come to my house. When I'm at home and I can just roll into bed. Yeah.
If you just go to his house in the middle of the night,
you get cream tea out of it.
Yeah. Cream tea and a whiskey.
Okay, what else have we got here from the. I'll tell you what, here's one for Ruben. It's non specific to you, but I'll ask you. From Mr. Pumuckle. Mr. Pumuckle.
Thanks for writing in, Mr. Bullmuckle.
What football rule would you change?
Extra time. I don't like it.
Yeah, it sucks, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Get rid of it.
I have an idea in my head that silver goal being brought back would be the solution, but then the problems that exist with extra time now would probably then just...
It was very
golden boring. Goal was great. Golden I really think terrifying. That should exist, yeah.
Because
there's so much jeopardy.
It's so scary.
Yeah.
The stakes are high.
But isn't the problem with that you just end up with no team really wanting to risk anything, so you end up getting penalties anyway?
Yeah, kind of feels like that in extra time as it is.
Remember when the lads spilled that Bierhoff goal in the 96 final?
Oh, yeah.
I can remember the drop of the ball.
It's the way, it's the flapping and the way it just drops in on the side of the net. It's horrible.
Yeah, I remember that. Well, maybe you do the 15 minutes thing and if... golden goal. I was trying to work it out.
Golden goal.
Let's just bring that back, I think.
What do you got for us, JJ Ball?
Questions for you. Number one. How dare you? Number two. What gives you the right?
What's this from?
It's The Office. It's The Office. Okay. Real one. Why do you love the England national team so much?
Because I love... It's my favourite thing. I hate
Let me say that. I'll do that all again.
I was no shit, to, yeah.
I was about to co-sign his answer, but no.
Joe's original answer to this question had to be deleted. Why do you look? I mean, I don't. You didn't answer the way I thought you would.
No. I didn't answer the way I thought I would either. It just came out there.
No. How about this one? Why do you pretend not to like football when you actually do?
Because
I've got a similar question. Yeah. Why do you pretend to like football when you actually don't?
Oh, okay. See, now we're getting to the heart of the
I've got
matter.
Another question. Do you like football?
Really good question.
And what is it that you like about it?
Steph's got nothing to say.
What is it that you actually like
about it?
Well,
this is the thing, because I don't... I mean, and JJ alluded to this before when he said that people don't actually watch the game, they just enjoy the narrative around it. A, I enjoy the narrative. I don't enjoy the boring Mourinho does a thing narrative, but I enjoy... the sort of the global narrative, you know.
But the player's doing well and then will he go somewhere else?
I get a little bit of that, but I also get really excited when when a sovereign...
sovereign wealth fund pops up.
When a sovereign wealth fund buys football club, I think, oh, that's interesting. Or, you know...
Didn't you watch more football like a game was directed by someone special, like Adam Curtis?
Yeah, of course. The thing is, I don't care about the actual football, right?
What would happen?
I couldn't sit down and watch for very... I can't concentrate on it. It's just boring,
imagine if
right?
football was like you say, all of these global entities, yeah. And instead of footballs, it was dragons and it was called Game of Thrones. Would you like that?
Sure. I mean, yeah. I think the same. Like, I wouldn't watch the dragons... I'd read about like
on the dragons,
I'd read like. About you know how the
how
impact of the dragons
came in.
And, yeah like we're making a difference in you know developed nations soft power plays that stuff's interesting to me and how the intersection of real life you know I'm into that stuff. Do I care whose goal goes in where? No, I couldn't give a fuck what happens. That's boring.
I have a similar thing if I'm watching a game that I don't have a vested interest in, right? Yeah. Which is why. The
arguments, that's every game
yeah,
for me.
Right, okay. But like the arguments that people have about which league is the best league in the world is they're all kind of futile because it's sure. The one you enjoy the most is the one that you have a vested interest in.
Yes.
Right. And that you know more about. So if you can recognise all the players, then it's more enjoyable to
I enjoy the World Cup League.
Yeah,
that's my favourite.
That is always
league.
Fun. Yeah. Which brings us back to the original question.
Well, and the England thing is because I don't you know, we joke around about this. And you think differently. You think I'm lying, right? But I can tell you, I genuinely do not support a club football team. You can say who I'm supposed to support if you want now, because I'm not doing the podcast anymore, so it doesn't really matter if you want to.
No, I think it's good to have a little bit of mystery.
A little bit of mystery. But, you know, like I grew up supporting a team. I don't anymore. Like, at the end, to be deadly serious about it
you do, because your reactions are authentic. You have like you'll get a little bite of things when things happen about that team.
No, I'll get it. Like I'll get it about all sorts of different teams if I just disagree.
Same
with
as England
thing.
That you react
with
it
with England. No,
that
but
one,
England,
yeah.
I'm a fan. I'm a fan of the England. The reason I am a fan of the England national team is because once every sort of 2 or 4 years for the Euros and the World Cup, it's nice to sort of let go of the part of my brain that says, "Don't that's stupid. Don't do that." You know, and just go, "No, shush up, logical thinking brain. Let emotional brain lead for once." You know, and then that's when I go out and I set cars on fire and stuff and.
Jump in the air and smash down on them.
Yeah, smash down on them. Hope they don't look up at the last minute. It's all good. Yeah. Anyway, you got any questions for anyone else?
Yeah, can I? Who wants to play the quiz game?
Oh, yeah, we've got time for the quiz game. Yeah.
Nice lads.
Yeah. How long is it?
Oh, it took 30 seconds.
Okay.
So the footballgame.co, I got in touch with them on Instagram. They had this football game. And
who?
The football game company, I think it's called.
Did you call them Co? Oh, yeah, Co for company.
Yeah, the CEO, yeah.
I see.
Yeah. They sent me this game that they're releasing. It's really good.
Right.
Who should make play the game? I think it'd be funniest, actually, if it is you, Joe.
Okay.
To see how much football you actually know about. In 30 seconds, how many players can you name that played in the Premier League?
Okay. Has it begun?
No. How many players can you name? Just tell me how
much. I have to tell you.
Yeah.
In 30 seconds.
Because what he's meant to do is that you'll say, like, 50. I'll do 7, and then you think you can do 50 in 30 seconds.
5-0.
Well, no one's going to try and beat that number, so you're going to try and name 50 in 30 seconds. All right.
No. Okay, I think I can do 20.
How many do you think you can do, John?
21.
How many can you do, Seb?
25.
Yeah. Ruben, how many can you do?
Might as well say 26.
26, right.
So who does it now, Ruben?
Well, what would normally happen is it's Ruben, but it's going to be funnier.
It's going to be
funnier for you to try and do 20. 20 Premier... Here we go. 20 Premier League players in 30 seconds by Joe Devine. Go.
Has the time started? It's on the
time. I'm not letting you do your bit. I'm going to start the game again. In 3, 2, 1.
Robbie Brady, Theo Walcott, James Ward-Prowse, Alan Shearer, Ian Wright, Freddie Ljungberg, Nathan Delfonso, Hugo Rodiega, Wilfred Bonney, Emmanuel Abue.
This is literally from Sporkle the other night, isn't it?
Kevin De Bruyne, Kevin
Schnabel,
Kevin Phillips, Kevin Nolan, Kevin Yaya Toure,
Kevin Yaya Toure.
He dropped the Kevin.
What about how many seconds has it been?
Oh, well, he ended ages ago.
Oh, right, I'm still going.
You got 10.
I've got 10 more seconds.
In 10 players and 30 seconds.
I think some of those count for two, though.
What on earth? No one else would have said Nathan Robbie Brady first.
He was my favourite player.
That went almost exactly as I hoped.
For the club that you don't support? Or?
No, I just liked him as a player. He played for all sorts of
different clubs. He did score
a
very enjoyable header against Italy in Euro 2016, didn't he? That was fun.
He had a good year, 2016.
Do you know what I think? If we played that game properly, I think Ruben would probably actually...
I went on it.
His knowledge is ridiculous.
Can I tell you, listening back to some of the podcasts, I was looking for some comments for the live shows, and any episode that Ruben was on, I listened to Ruben, I was like, how... Yeah.
He knows stuff. Yeah.
I went on a different podcast last week.
You fucking what?
I know.
What, after you came here? After I brought you here? After I made you who you are?
He's doing the thing.
Which
again.
One did he go on?
It was called Boar Draw. And they were doing an end of season quiz. And
it sounds rubbish. Yeah. Whose does that?
Some lads. I don't know.
They're just normal people.
Yeah, they watched it. They watched this, actually.
It wasn't another
media
company.
They invited me on because they saw me on this. So be nice to them.
What are their names?
I can't remember.
What's their podcast name?
Tom and Ross, that's it. Bored Raw. Anyway, I won
the
quiz.
What are you saying? What are you saying? Bored Raw.
Yeah, he's Bored Raw. And he look at this, he's a big star. Now. Like,
you know when you're a lion and you're suffering from ennui?
Yeah, you've got you're bored about your Raw. Okay, it's interesting.
Nintendo ennui.
Anyway, I won the quiz. I won the quiz by an absolute mile.
Sorry, are you telling a story right now?
I won a quiz, yeah.
You won a quiz.
Just backing up what JJ said.
Oh, I see. Because he said you would win the quiz and you've won the quiz on a different podcast.
But as always, it got derailed.
Ennui if living is without you.
Can't leave anymore.
Ennui.
Oh, there we go. I swear I brought up ennui once before on the podcast. No one knew what it was, but you weren't here, were you?
Tom references ennui in Succession once, doesn't he?
Yeah, does he?
Yeah.
There you go.
When Greg's in Canada, he's like, with the healthcare and the ennui.
Well, Tom Bogawang, sort of his
Shut
name.
Up, Greg.
Ruben can do good impressions as well.
That's not very good.
Do an impression.
You're on speakerphone, Tom. Your principles. Yeah. Fuck off.
Nobody likes racism, Greg. Grow up.
I don't think I'd like the pit of death.
I'll try and get him to do the Roy Hodgson.
Oh.
Get him to do the Roy.
You can do Michael Caine as well. Really good.
Yes.
I tried Michael Caine last week.
You've got a few. It's quite difficult. But what else have you got?
Shall I do it by Roy?
Yeah.
You know, I'm very, very happy to be back at Crystal Palace. Wilfred Zaha's a tremendous friend of mine. And when you talk about footballers, and James McArthur, he will be right up there at the very top. Thank you very much.
Have you ever seen a baby that can do that
before?
He's
really good.
He's such a talented baby.
All right, fine. John, you haven't asked any questions yet. You can ask one or two, and then we've got to wrap it up.
Okay, which footballer do most people say that you look like? That's to everyone. Is there any footballer who people say you look like?
I don't get... I had Frankie de Jong once, but normally commenters in the past have told me I don't look like a footballer, but Steve Buscemi, the actor.
Yeah, you go. Steve Buscemi and Sergio Busquets had a baby, I can see that. You've got a little bit of the Busquets about you.
What, because I'm like lanky and...
Yeah, you're just gangly.
Yeah.
That's it, really. Boy. You're a gangly guy, yeah. What about you,
James? The Greek lad who's played for Celtic, what's his name?
Ange Postecoglou.
George Samaras.
Georgios Samaras, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, facially, I can see that.
Yeah.
So long, had longer hair, looked like him, yeah.
What have you got, Seth?
Nah, I don't really have it.
I don't think I have
John
one.
Looks like Pound Shop Pep Guardiola.
Snorlax.
Snorlax, yeah. He was a good footballer.
When I had hair, I used to get
Gonzalo Higuain quite a lot, but now I don't have hair.
Nor does he, though.
So. I now just look like all bald footballers.
You look like managers.
Yeah. All managers. Yeah. You could stick me on the end of the Manchester United bench, and I would fit right in because they all just look bald.
That's true. Yeah.
I might just sneak in. I might just try and sneak a job just by sitting on the bench. Remember that guy who used to go on the end of team photos?
Yeah.
Who would be a better manager of a Premier League team if me and John both got a job? Who would be the better?
Do you really want me to answer that?
Yeah.
It's John.
It's John.
It's John.
Yeah. I don't know.
Why is that?
He's better than you. I actually don't think that's true. And I think we had this conversation once before with Alex Stewart as well. I think what John has in his understanding of structure and out of possession stuff, you make up for in ability to talk to human beings.
Right? This was going
to
be my point.
I famously don't speak to human beings in my job at all, actually.
You speak to me, and I'm a god. So it's
people do watch our videos. You do realise those go out.
Yeah, you're not speaking to them, though.
You're speaking to a camera.
It's the camera.
I think a management team of the three of you would be very entertaining, but only if you did every halftime team talk in your American accent.
I could do that.
I'll do in possession. He does out of possession.
Yeah. And I'll get the lunches ready and make sure that...
You do the motivating speeches.
But with mainly the lunches.
It's like how managers actually do it. Most managers just are around and are their presence and tell people what to do and then...
That's true, in which case, out of the two of you, who do you think would make the better manager, not coach?
But manager.
Manager.
Oh, probably John, yeah.
Why do you say that?
Just because.
Do you think John or Seb? This is a dangerous game, isn't it?
I'd employ John as a coach. I'd Michael Beale it.
Yeah.
I'd make the better manager, but then I'd need my elephant man to help
me. His elephant man.
And then the Athletic would do long reads about how he was the genius behind it all along.
And I'd take a job somewhere else. I wouldn't take him with me and I'd fail. And I'd get, you know, Villa relegated. Just to plug an example out of.
I would be the best.
You'd be the best manager.
By miles, yeah.
Well, you've got that self-confidence, haven't you? Some people call it delusion, but there's like a self-confidence that you've got. Some people would say it's like total egomania, out of control, like, no ability, no self-awareness, no ability to understand your own quality. But
let the meat cake.
Don't bring up the cake thing again. There were so many comments about the cake thing.
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Can we end?
We are ending now. And of course, this is the final time that
we'll do the intro as well. We'll be gathering like this.
I'm talking.
It's been a long time.
It's the final time.
I'm hungry.
That we'll be gathering like this. And, of course, the show isn't ending, as I've said several times. I hope you know that.
North the channel.
You'll be seeing less of some of us.
Yeah, check out Tifo IRL.
Check out Tifo IRL to watch more of JJ and John. Follow The Athletic FC on TikTok and soon on YouTube. I don't think we're on YouTube yet, but soon on there to follow some of Ruben's fantastic work that he's been doing as well. Go to Germany if you want to get a whiff of Seb. And actually, Seb's doing a lot more writing on The Athletic at the moment. So check out his author profile on there and read some of the stuff that he's doing.
And watch some of the Tifo shorts that have been fantastic.
Very exciting there. But there'll be less of some of us, of course, of Monsieur Michael Bailey as well. But this is also the final studio show for producer Steve as well.
Steve, thank you.
What a legend.
Sat through there. A little clap for producer Steve. And Steve has sent me something. Let me open it. Which starts, here's something I wanted to say that I definitely wrote myself. Okay. Well, I fucked that bit, haven't I? Steve, you've taught me so much about life, about the world, about how to fuck up getting into a break. Yeah. You've become a rock to me, an anchor, a touchstone, and a punching bag. Which is true. We'll all miss you very much. I would have written that bit. We'll all miss you very much, Steve Hanke. Yeah. And now that's where the round of applause for Steve Hanke goes.
Thanks, everyone.
Mainly, I'm going to miss having someone around who quite literally fell off his chair 2 weeks ago.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice to have, you know, written my legacy.
Yeah. But I think you'll be there in my head forever whenever I do something. I've got the curse of, what do they call it? The imp of the perverse in me. which is, for those who don't know, the desire...
You have an imp?
I mean, yeah, like to the desire to say the worst possible thing at any moment, in any situation. It's the laughing at the funeral sort of thing. That's the imp of the perverse in your head. Oh, if I did this at this moment, this would be the worst possible thing. That's the imp of the perverse. And sometimes when I experience the imp now on this side of my, the left side of my head, even when Steve Hankey's not around... I get a little Steve Hankey on the right-hand side of my
don't
head.
Don't do it, Joel. Don't do it.
Maybe don't do that. Maybe pull back from that one. You might get sued, you know? And that's mostly what I'm grateful to you for, so, not allowing me to be sued.
Are you going to keep him on retainer just for everyday life?
Oh, he's my personal assistant. He won't be here on the show anymore. Yeah. Steve lives with me now. He sleeps at the end of my bed in a little cot.
Bringing
and the imp on the other
glasses
side.
Of whiskey and coke.
That's exactly true.
Making the cream teas.
So we can make our closing statements.
Do we have to close our laptops?
No, you don't have to. I just have nothing left to read on mine. My only closing statement to the audience, fuck you. John, would you like to say anything about the upcoming show?
I'll be back.
You will be back. Well, actually, I should say we'll be back between now and then as well, because we're going to do a couple of Sensible Transfer shows. Sensible Transfer is coming back for T4RL, and we're going to do a couple of podcasts. It'll be, I think, the two of you guys, maybe a couple of other people involved as well. You don't know this yet. You know it now.
How structured I have to be in my calendar so I can get everything done in time.
I was going to talk to you about it today, but I only decided just before I went on holiday. It really buys us a bit of... It's good. It's good for everyone involved. And you'll love it. You'll have a terrific time. But there's going to be a few of those that will happen before... Now I'm just telling you. There'll be a few of those that happen before John's interview shows begin again. Mm-hmm. Also, I think we've got a special guest. I think I'm back in not that far from now. I've got a special guest hopefully coming in that I'll get to speak to. That'll be fun. If that's true, Mr. Pinder will be with me for that episode as well. Very exciting. But JJ, I mean, you'll be back on the feed in a couple of weeks, so it's not very poignant, but... want to address your camera over there?
Keep on trucking.
That's it.
Goblins.
Yeah.
Goblins, 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 goblins. Rooney.
Rooney, yeah. Pinder? That's right. A little crybaby on the way out there. And Sam Stafford Block.
No, nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing at all.
People
nothing.
Would want to know how your gates are doing.
Fine. Gates are normal. Well.
Yeah, squeaky oil.
Still living in Germany. Well. No, WKD. All is
fine. Fine. Steve Hankey, WKD. Care to say goodbye, Steve Hankey?
What it's a very weird thing to
what are you putting WKD on WS gates for? No wonder they're fucked.
What was I trying to... WD-40.
WKD. Put iron brew.
That is not a good mistake to make, is it, in the moment?
Why won't my car work? I could put iron brew in it.
Goodbye to you, Steve Hankey.
I've enjoyed this show immensely. Yes. And I miss you all very dearly, so good. Accept you, Joe.
Yeah, well, fuck you.
His little face when he falls off the chair in the video. It's just this little crumpled face. The purest sign that someone has lost all their dignity.
And I got stuck as well.
Yes, you did.
Ongoing groin injury. Don had to help me.
Well, speaking of Don, can you get Don to say goodbye as well into your microphone? Has that?
No.
He says no. That's good old Don. Okay, I think the only appropriate thing for me to do here is walk up and leave, but my charger's plugged in. So.
Athletic.